Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Good Friday, everyone. I am your host, Keturah, live online on Blog Talk Radio, and today we'll be talking about the Passover meal. And we all know that there are two things going on at the same time. This is Good Friday, and we are recognizing the sacrifice that Christ made for us, the believers today, through the suffering on Calvary. And at 12 noon until about 3 o'clock today, he hung on the cross for you and I, bearing our sins. And you can read about that story in great details in the book of Luke, chapter 23, verses 44 through verses 46. And also, we are starting the Passover feast season, which was to be commemorated by the believers. And it's a Jewish holiday that they celebrate in remembrance of the deliverance given through Moses through the Exodus from Egypt. And in the book of Exodus, we see that in Exodus 12 and 14, it says, "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generation, and you shall keep it a feast by an ordinance for effort." And so we have two events going on today telling one story. You know, Christ would show us in the Word through many biblical methods and readings of the deliverance of his people. But I want to spend some time in the lesson today talking about the meal, the Seder meal. And this is a meal that the customs required the people to partake of during the Passover season. Now, we know that today is Good Friday, and it's the day when Christ hung on the cross. It's the day when he endured that brutal, brutal scourging, and with the cat of nine tails and the vile treatment of our Lord and Savior. And then he finished it on the cross through his death, and the veil was rent, indicating that the old was done away with and that the new is established, and we no longer have to go through all of those ritualistic rituals that the priests carried out in the days of old. We are all free to come to Jesus Christ on our own, for ourselves, without a mediator. Christ is the only mediator. But I want to remember the feast season as he has written in his word in Exodus 12 and 14, what we just read. But I want to talk about the meal. And if you want more details about the Passover feast season, please go to my YouTube channel, and on YouTube type in my name, Keturah, K-E-T-U-R-A-H Jones, and then type in the title of the sermon, Passover Part 1. And it's important that you do it the way that I just explained it, because there are multiple Keturahs on YouTube, and I want you to get me the right one, okay? So those details are important. That's Keturah Jones, Passover Feast, No, Passover Part 1, Keturah Jones Passover Part 1. Type that in the YouTube channel and you'll get me directly on this teaching. I had to be specific because there's another Keturah on there, but she doesn't know. It's just not always good. So anyway, to the lesson that we're in today on the Seder, the Passover meal, I want to endeavor to give you some of the details about the meal. The meal, first of all, it tells the story of the Exodus. It tells the meaning of what is behind the meal that they partake of. And if you remember, when they went in to their homes, they were commanded to put the blood of Jesus on the two side posts and across the top on the lintelling. And when the death angel would pass by, God said that he would see the blood and he would pass them by. Well, while they were on lockdown, consecrated, they partook of a meal, and that meal would remind them of what they went through. And so that's what we're going to look at here right now. And so we see the Seder plate, and that's spelled S-E-D-E-R, and on it we find five items. We find the matzah, which is the unleavened bread. We find the morah, M-O-R-A, O-R, or M-A-R-O-R, and this is a herb, and it is horseradish or lettuce or Romanian lettuce, and it's used for a symbolic symbol of the slavery that they went through. And then there is the charos, which is spelled C-H-A-R-O-S-E-S, and it is a mixture of apples, nuts, wine, and cinnamon, and it's a reminder of the mortar used by the Jews in construction of the buildings as slaves. And then we see on the plate the bitza, and that's spelled B-E-I-L-Z-A-H, and this is a roasted egg, and it is a symbol of life and the symbol of sin. You know, we all have a sin, we have a sin nature, and we sin every day is what I'm trying to say, and we have to repent every day. And then we have the vegetables, which are parsley or celery, and this represents hope and redemption. And it's served with a bowl of salt water, representing the tears that were shed. And then they would have on the plate a lamb shank, which is symbolic for the lamb, because during the Passover they would serve lamb, or during the sacrifice they would serve lamb for the Passover. You know, when they would go before the priest and the sacrifice and those type of things were made, they would sacrifice a lamb. Well, the lamb is no more. The sacrificial, ritualistic method that I explained to you earlier is no more. And so what they would do instead, they would just have a lamb shank on the plate to remind them of the sacrifice that the lamb made. And then they would have two glasses of wine, and this is consumed during service to represent the promises of redemption, and it's served with a special glass left for Elisha. So they would set a plate, or set a place and a plate for Elisha. And the reason why that was done in remembrance of Elisha is because, if you recall, the Jews did not believe in the Messiah, and they believed in the Elisha being the forerunner, as John the Baptist was the forerunner. If you would turn your Bible over to, let me get over there, Matthew 17, and we want to look at verse 10. And while you're going over to Matthew 17 and 10, I wanted to go back to the top of the list that I just read for you. And when I opened up, I said that the matzah, it is the bread that was eaten during the Passover meal. And I want to clarify that the matzah can be read about in Exodus chapter 12 and 34, but it is the unleavened bread, and it's wrapped in a napkin, and it's a symbol of how they left Egypt in a hurry, and there was no time for the dough to rise. And so there was one serving during the service to symbolize and memorialize the fact that they left in a hurry. And then there was a second serving that was left for later on to be found as a prize. And so I just wanted to make sure I give you that understanding so that if you decide in your own personal time to serve a seder meal, well, then you have all of the necessary ingredients. Listen to this program again in your own time so that you can get the details. Now, I want to get back over here where we were in the book of Matthew, chapter 17 and in verse 10. And his disciple asked him, saying, "Why then say the scribes that Elijah must first come?" Now, if you read the story in Matthew chapter 17, we see that it is the transfiguration. And then the disciples, they questioned Jesus about this story found in the book of Malachi chapter 4 and 5. It says, "Behold, I will send you Elisha the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." Elisha was the forerunner, and he was like the John the Baptist in that day. And so that's what the Jews hoped to look to for their hope. And so we read over in Malachi 3:1, it is cited in the New Testament as directly referring to John the Baptist, and he certainly ministered when Jesus first came to his temple. On the other hand, in the book of Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, is cited with reference to John the Baptist because he is said to have come in the spirit and power of Elisha. And that's in the book of Luke 1 and 17. And in Matthew 17:10, which we just read, Jesus makes a distinction between Elisha, who is yet to come, and John, who came already. And so that is why they would have the seder meal and would set a place for Elisha, because they did not believe in the Messiah. And John the Baptist, they didn't believe that he would be the forerunner. They were looking for Elisha. And so that's why that question was asked. Well, I hope that you have a blessed Good Friday today, and I pray for you and your family. I plead the blood of Jesus over you on this Passover day. I apply the blood to you and to yours and to everything that concerns you. I pray for your protection. I pray that you be safe. I pray a blessing upon you for this day, that God would remember you according to his promise in the book of Exodus chapter 23, that when he see the blood, that he would pass over you, that he would bless your bread and your water, that there would be no barrenness among you, that there would be no miscarriages, meaning no early death, that he would fulfill the number of you, your years, that his ministering angels will go before you to prosper you in whatsoever way that you go and in everything that you do. That's my prayer for you today. Have a blessed Good Friday, and please share this teaching with other family members, friends, on your Twitters, on your Facebooks. Share this link. Go to my website at www.inspirationalcorneronline.com and click on the TV link. Also, follow on Facebook while you're on the website. Click the Facebook tab. Like me on Facebook and receive updates on demand on the Facebook feed. Don't forget to subscribe to my podcast. Click the RSS link and you can enjoy programs that you may have missed that are produced locally right here in Lansing, Michigan on 1390 AM dial. Well, I love you. Remember 1 Peter 5:7 from the Amplified Bible. God cares about you affectionately, and he cares about you watchfully.